happening in real time right in front of you. It's happening. Must have said, you know what? The announcement segment was too long. You don't get to do this today. How are we doing? Go. Where's the play button? Do your thing. There we go. Yay. All right. So, we're beginning a brand new series. If you're familiar with things of social media, often what happens is in social media, there are things that are going on that are on a public forum. There are people that are exchanging ideas, talking, and that type of thing. And then every once in a while, you'll come across something where somebody says, so-and-so, please PM me. And PM me means private message me. And a lot of times what happens is that in our social media world, we realize that we come into a setting like this, and God is speaking and moving to us on a large scale. We're all here, we're worshiping the Lord, we're hearing from God. And sometimes what can happen is we get into this situation and we say, this is fantastic. This is wonderful to be in this corporate place of worship, being able to be in the presence of God. But God, what I really need is I need to hear from you for me. I need a personal message to come. I need a place where I can say, God, I was literally in your presence and I heard something that was specific to me. God, would you please private message me? Would you please have a word for me? I need to go somewhere that's not so public. I need to go somewhere that's not so out in the open. And I want to have a dialogue with you where you and I can have some intimate time together. In our culture, this is actually a big problem, because we are so used to having information immediately and looking at things in group settings and hearing things come to us in group situations. And we forget sometimes that God actually speaks to us as individuals. He has a personal message for us. He has a private word even sometimes. He has something that is specifically for you. God, would you please, in this moment, could I hear from you? Social media has kind of taken that from us. And often we find ourselves, there's a quote from Pastor Stephen Furtick down in North Carolina. This was his quote, it wasn't mine. But he said, often what we're doing is we're comparing everyone else's highlight reels to our behind the scenes. And that happens quite a bit. That we see everything. I mean, that's what you do. I don't want you to do the opposite of this, actually. You know, there's some things that we just don't need to see on social media. We don't need people airing out their laundry and all that kind of stuff. If you got to force a smile and put that smile on there and paste that on social media, sometimes that's better than us going rant, 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 and everybody, and hoping, you know, we get our rant going. And social media has made it so that we will say things on social media that we would never say to somebody's face. Right? We would be talking to somebody, and the things that we release on social media, we would never say to somebody face to face. We would find a different way. Maybe we'd try to find some way to say it that would be a little bit more palatable. And God relates to us in similar terms in that He speaks to us always the same. He speaks to us in love. He speaks to us in understanding. And what we have done is we have allowed ourselves to kind of our relationship with God to evolve to this place where we assume certain things because of this brand new culture. Social media in the realm of things is quite young. You think about in the situation that we're in right now, if you were born from 1998 till now, the only thing you really know is social media. But how many of you think 1998 was not all that long ago? Right? That's not all that long ago. I still had a dual cassette and CD player in my car in 1998. I still had a healthy collection of cassette tapes. I still had the pencil that was on the side that if I wanted to get to the right song, you know, I would, and some of you have no idea what I'm even talking about. But it's amazing what has happened in such a brief period of time and how we communicate together. And it stems from our culture right before our eyes for some of us has changed. The way that we talk to each other, what things we say to each other, how we handle various situations, it is based upon this idea of social media. God has given us this thing called His Word. The Bible is known as the Word of God. And there's a guy that I'll listen to every once in a while. He's an out-and-out atheist. And every once in a while, I like to hear some of the things that he's saying just so that if I ever come across someone who thinks the way he does, I'll already have an idea of where I want to go with it. And he started out this one interview, and he said, there is a group of people out there. He's saying it just like this. There is a group of people out there that think the Bible is the literal truth. I'm like, he's talking to me. this is awesome. He's like, come on over for dinner. There's a group of people out there that think the Bible is the literal truth. And the guy that he was talking to was a Christian, and he said, are you one of those guys? And he was like, yeah, actually I am. He's like, okay, I've got some things for you then. Right? I mean, you knew that was a setup. And he goes, and he's like flipping through, you know, and he quotes this thing about killing somebody who has been, you know, if a woman is found in adultery, you're supposed to kill her. He's like, that's in the Bible. And the guy attempted to explain to him the idea of Old Testament law and grace. How many of you are familiar that there's Old Testament law and there's New Testament grace? Everybody familiar with it? Okay. So that's something that we in the church are familiar with. But somebody looks at the Bible that has no context at all, and they begin to look through it and they're like, we're supposed to stone people? We're supposed to, you know, if somebody is sick, we're supposed to not socialize with them? The leprosy thing, you kick them out of the, so you know? And what did... Here's the thing, right? Where did we get the break? What did Jesus do? And this is what this guy was telling him. This guy said, yes, that's exactly right. That's the way life is without Jesus Christ. And the stuff that you're talking about is true. And he goes like this, not for me, it's true for you. I was like, man, that's good. I'm at my desk going, wait a second. Because he said, I'm not under the law. I'm under grace. And the guy doing the interview, you notice I'm intentionally leaving his name out because I think this guy would be an amazing born-again Christian because he's got such an influence. But he's sitting there and he had no response to that whatsoever. He said, I'm under the law of grace and mercy, and you're under the law of sin and death. And so that's exactly what that is for. And in our social media realm, I began to then look at all of the posts and the comments that went after. I mean, and the Christians were doing just what I was doing. Whoa, that was awesome! You know? And the people that were in his camp, they were like, oh, there he goes. See, they can't really explain it. They explain it away with Jesus. You got me. I feel cornered all of a sudden. I don't know what to say. Right. We explain it away with Jesus. Why? Because at some point in your life, you said, God, I need a personal message from you. God, I need to hear from you. And there's some things that God says about us that we're going to be looking at over the next few weeks together. One of them is this phrase, God says, what is it? There it is. God says, I am. And I touched on this a little bit about a month ago. And what this is these are all the things that I didn't get to say. I'm going to get a chance now to unpack them a little bit more and share them with you. God says that I am. And there are some things in the Scripture that clearly say who you are in the body of Christ, as a follower of Christ, as someone who is not a follower of Christ. There are some things that God specifically says. If you're here this morning and you have yet to give your life to Christ, understand this. These phrases are for you as well, because God, there's some things that God said specifically that it didn't even have to do with your actions. You would say, well, God condemns me because of my sin. There's some things that God said about you before you were even born that are true. And so God says, I am. God says, He will. There are certain things in our lives that God says He is going to accomplish in us. But if we're constantly being surrounded by the barrage, right? I mean, we open this thing up. Where did I put it? We open this thing up. And often what we do is we get on here and we're like, what am I going to think about myself today? Right? I posted something yesterday and it only got 6 likes. You know, what can I got to get smarter and quippier so that I can get, you know. So we go on there and there's people in the world. This is a generalization, of course, but there's some people in the world that this has become their new reality. Their brand new reality is all summed up in here. Now, when I was a kid, and we would go to special youth events, and there was something that our reality had been wrapped up in, it was rock and roll. Rock and roll, man, rock and roll. And it seemed like every youth conference I went to, there was a CD or tape burning, right? It got to be really expensive to go to youth events. You're not only paying to go in, but you're getting rid of like $300 of music in one garbage can. But can you imagine if we had, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to purge the things from our lives right now that are a distraction to Jesus. I got a garbage can up front. Everybody bring your cell phones. Psh! Right? We'll haul it right outside this door here. I don't think an alarm is going to go off. Is an alarm going to go off? I don't remember. Okay, good. This is how you get the police into your church. And we have a big garbage can out here. And we load it up and we just fill it with lighter fluid and psh! Who wants to get rid of their cellular device today, right? So what we have to do is we have to be able to say, how in the world can I get to a place to where I'm going to be listening to what God says about me and not be so focused on what the world says, not about me, sometimes about my people, right? This is our camp. Somebody gets on there and they're like, rant, 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 rant. And they're not saying Phil Taylor, but they're associating themselves with something. I'm like, Right? And we get all worked up about something that nobody even said that. We don't even know that person. But all of a sudden, they are in our home or in our car or in our hand, and we're affected by what's going on. This is the thing that the millennials are dealing with now. God says He has. There's promises that God has said. There are things that are specific to our walk with Him that He says that He has done in my life. And it's important for us to download those things. Can we use that? We need to be going in to the hard drive of life, and we need to be listening to, this is more like a flash drive. It's compact, you know. You have one on your phone. I'm getting a little, you know what? This is totally not in here. So if I say something's kind of wacky right now, just discredit it. But I've gotten to the point where I actually don't like reading the Bible on my phone or on my device too much anymore, because I don't, when are they going to change it? Have you gotten these things lately? I've gotten some stuff lately that's like, your Bible has been updated. What was wrong with it? It's a Bible. You don't update a Bible. You know, you now have the latest version. I'm like, what? So I'm a little tinfoil in the basement kind of a thing on that one. I don't, you know, conspiracy theories arise or whatever. But I really like my paper Bible, and so if I really, I'm this is my buddy. I'm sticking with my paper Bible. Not to say that you'll never see, you know, there he is. He's reading that. He's a liar. He's reading his Bible. Look at that. No. I do read my Bible on my device every once in a while. Okay, yes. We're preaching now. God says I can. God says I can. These are some things that we're going to take some time to look at together, because we have the ability to listen and hear the negative louder than the positive. Do you understand what I'm saying? The negative word affects us stronger than the positive word. Every time I walk into the door of this church, I get a little Google thing that pops up on my phone. And it says, you're at Grace Fellowship Church. I'm like, first of all, that's really weird. Rate this business and tell us what you think about it. I'm like, wait, this player. Okay. Yeah, right. And what we find out is that whether you're a business owner or there, you know, if you, I'm waiting for the moment where that's going to happen as you drive by your friend's house. You're at Phil Taylor's house. Could you rate his house and let us know? You know, it's 3 stars. It's got chickens. Crazy guy. Yeah. So there's things that go on, and we're like, I find myself saying, you can give a star rating to a church? So what we're going to do is, everybody pull out your mobile device and just go ahead and give us a 5-star rating. While you're we'll just send it right out. Wow, we're going there. No, but no, don't do that. Unless you really mean it. But anyway, we're getting kind of crazy with it. And this is the kind of feedback that we're faced with, is that our relationships become based upon, I had this negative experience, or I had this thing that I just can't, and so I'm going to change my relationship with you. And we can do it with a swipe or a tap or a poke, and everything is different. And we relate ourselves. We think that God is up there on some giant social media thing, going, okay, Phil, that was a 1-star action. Ooh, I don't think there's a star rating for that one. I'm just going to have to... And then you see the reviews. If I could give it -4 stars. Have you ever seen a review like that? You know, where you're buying a couch. It's like, if I could give this -4 stars, I would. And we think that God is somehow relating to us in this new form of communication that hasn't existed for the last 6,000 years. But yet this is now, over the last 18 years, how we associate with God. 6,000 years of history, 16 years we've completely redone how we connect, how we work, how we do, how everything is completely different since social media has made an entrance. And the original, I can't even believe I'm about to say this. But the original Facebook is us getting our face in the book. Right? This is it right here. This is it. And so you can hashtag that if you want to. But anyway, this is where we are in our relationship. This is how I find out who I am. And as I become more confident in my relationship with Jesus Christ, I become less and less affected by the things that filter out in the world. I was talking with somebody not too long ago, and they said, man, you really seem like you're just an upbeat guy all the time. And I said, well, I'm not. You know, I do have my moments. But I have a general positive outlook on things. I feel that it comes from a couple of things. One, I had really good family life. I did. I was honest, I was spoiled. Not monetarily, but I was spoiled with love. My parents loved me. My mom loved me. Mom. Right. My mom loves me. And my dad loved me. My dad was so much a part of my life that, like Alexa shared just a few weeks ago in that moment that was unscripted, and I made it through the service anyway. She did a fantastic job of remembering my dad. But when he passed away, I literally did not know how I was going to handle major decisions. That's the kind of relationship I had with my dad. I was going to buy a house. Dad, what's going on? I was going to buy a car. What's going on? I was going to pretend that I could invest money. Dad, what would I pretend to do if I had money that could ever be invested? You know, I when it came time for me to actually propose to Alexa, my dad and I went out to dinner, and I had like this, you know, Dad, what do I do? And I had this heart to heart with my dad. I had a very special relationship with my dad and my mom. They're both heavy, so I was spoiled that way. That helped me in my relationship with God. Have you ever talked to somebody who had a strained relationship with a parent and it filtered into their relationship with God? Do you know what I'm talking about? Maybe some of you are here that are dealing with that this morning. Is that you're like, man, that's totally not fair that you had that and all that kind of stuff. We're going to get to that in a minute. But the reality is that whatever understanding that you live in, as soon as somebody says, God is our heavenly Father, everybody has an idea of who God is. Just like that. And we want to be able to not base our relationship with our earthly Father on our heavenly Father. And that is the second thing that I had to deal with. Is that I realized that in my father's absence, I was not giving God the place in my life that he needed to have. I could go and hang out with my dad, and man, we could solve the world's problems over a steak. But then when he wasn't there anymore, I felt isolated, I felt alone, I didn't know who am I going to talk to? Who am I going to, what? And God the whole time was like, here I am. Here I am. And I had to receive a personal message from God and realize, okay, wait a second, this isn't just a general thing, this is something extremely personal. And I need to hear the voice of the Lord over the noise of the world that we live in. Your social media doesn't make a ton of noise. Every once in a while we hear the ding or we have the whatever. But it's a quiet, filtered thing that just kind of seeks its way in. And this is what I was saying just a few minutes ago, is that the voices we hear the most are often the ones that are saying something negative over us. Somebody can be pouring positive, 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 positive into your life, and then all it takes is somebody to come along and go, and it erases all of the positive that was poured in. And that's sad. It's work to do. I've had experiences like that where I've, as upbeat as I am, I can get low. I have negative experiences. I can get down into the basement of life. And it's what do we allow the enemy to speak in, and how does it affect us? When I was set in as the senior pastor here, which was completely new to me, and we've shared a little bit of nuggets here and there with some of you. But my wife and I were in the pastor's study, and we were just, you know, making it our own in there, painting and all that kind of stuff, tarps over things. And this person came in, unknown. I didn't realize that there was no appointment or anything. That was before the days of appointments. Just wandered in. And so this person wandered in, and while I'm there, the paint's not even dry on my office wall. And you said this, and you're a liar, and you're a deceiver, and this whole thing is going to collapse, and have a good day. And I'm like, What was that? What was that? Left out a ton of details. If I gave too many details, you guys, some of you that have been coming for a while, you might sit there and try to figure out who it is. That's not the point. So I'm there, and my beautiful wife was in there, of course, with, I don't do any painting without Alexa. And I look over my shoulder, and she is like behind my desk, cutting in trim. You know, are they gone? You know. And I went through a season where I was like, did I hear you on this? Am I in the right place? I mean, this person I really respected this person, and they came in and just went, wow. And I said, God, maybe I'm all alone in this. Maybe I missed it. Was that the word I was supposed to hear? And I just wanted something to happen? And now what you're doing is that after we've done all the work, after we've done all the stuff, and after we've had all the ceremony, and we're here, and now you're deciding to tell me that I should be a car salesman instead? Because I can sell a car. I'm not talking down to car salesmen. That's hard work, selling something that is used. But did I miss it? Have you ever wondered that? Did I miss it? Because this random act happened. And what is the voice? 10 times, some of you were here, the Lord spoke over this thing, and this is going to happen, and this is blessed of the Lord. God is going to do this, and God is going to do that. We had people that we respected from all over the country come in on my setting, and we were just like, yes, this is awesome. And then one person during a lunch break comes in and goes, and it took me weeks. It took me weeks to go, wait, I'm calling people up and thinking, you know. What are the voices that we hear the most? How do we struggle? And what we feel that we've done at different times is not be able to listen to what God has said. If you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to throw it up here on the screen, but if you want to follow along in your paper version, you're more than welcome to. 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 11 through 13, they read this way. This is about Elijah. And he said, go out and stand, this is God, go out and stand on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. How many of you know this scripture? And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him. This is something in our culture that is exactly relevant. The noise of the world that we live in comes at us from everywhere. You can't even watch a sitcom without getting lectured to now, getting told how you should live, what your society should look like. I used to unplug and just watch, you know, you didn't even... Can you imagine back in, I'm going to say in my time, if I'm watching the Dukes of Hazzard, and all of a sudden one of the guys, and you know really what should happen in the world, I'm like, get back in the General Lee and jump over the pond and shut up, right? So it just didn't happen. But now all of a sudden, everything that we do has something to say about where we live, why we do the things that we do. You can't watch, and you can't just unplug. And so now what you have to do is you have to decide for yourself that you're going to unplug. You have to say, you know what? I'm gonna take a social media fast. And I know some of you have done that. I'm gonna take a mobile device fast. Because what I need to do is I've got an earthquake happening around me. I've got a torrential fire going on in my life right now. And I'm listening. I'm trying to listen for God in all of this stuff and come to find out God isn't in any of it. He needs you to just be silent. Be somewhere where you can hear God. And allow Him to speak to you on a completely different level than what we have been trained to do over the last decade and a half. It's changed the way we communicate with God. Charles Spurgeon said it this way: "Beware of no man more than of yourself. We carry our worst enemies within us." Charles Spurgeon was a pretty wise guy. I don't know if you know him. I don't know if you know that name. Pretty intelligent guy. Pretty amazing speaker. Pretty, you know, he could, very philosophical approach to Scripture. Very relational approach to Scripture. And this is one of the conclusions that this is what's going to happen. And the PTV of that, watch out, you might trip yourself. When I read that, that's what I'm seeing. That's the Phil Taylor version. You know, you can get that. We'll update it weekly. But this idea that what happens is that I get into this place where I become my worst enemy. Am I talking to myself this morning? I become my worst enemy. I convince myself there's lies that I have believed in my past. That I know I'm walking boldly in something that God is saying for me to do, and the next thing I know, I hear this thing that's just out of left field, and everybody connected with me would say, you know, I was telling somebody this earlier this week. Somebody actually told me one time that I'm not a people person. The people that know me know that's a joke. I can't survive unless I'm around people. I go crazy if I'm by myself. They were like, "You're not a people person. This is never going to work out." I'm like, okay. People say the funniest things. I think there was a show. We have this, if you remember too, back not too long ago, there was this concept. Every time somebody was trying to make a decision, there would be an angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other shoulder. Do you remember those days? Wouldn't it be awesome if that was true? Because the devil was like this big. He used to be like, pew. You weren't supposed to do that. You were supposed to listen to me. No, you're 3 inches tall. You're out of here. I can think the way I want to think. I can do it. I'm going to listen to this angel that's on this shoulder. See, in a lot of cases in our lives, there's no devil on our shoulder, and there's no angel on our shoulder either. God gives us the freedom of choice. And so in that situation, buckle up for safety, here it comes. I am the one who makes the choice. I am the devil or the angel on my own shoulder. Is this a revelation to you? I mean, this is like, wow. That's kind of weird. I've got a little guy in a green shirt. That's me. This is where we are in our lives today, is that I can say all of this kind of stuff and get all of these negative things happening. Some of you don't know this. I was an English major in college, and I put it to no use whatsoever. And I do have a fascination with words sometimes, and every once in a while I'm curious about stuff. And I was trying to figure out, you know, what is all of this chatter that's going on? And I was reading this book that was talking about it, and I came across this word, and I fell in love with this word. I don't know how you might say this word, but I put it up there. Can you read that word to yourself? Logorrhea. Now, I'll let you make word associations, sounds like things, in your own head right now. But what this word means, just in case you want to know, it means pathologically incorrect, repetitious speech, or incessant or compulsive talkativeness, wearisome volubility. Can the enemy talk like that in your life sometimes? It's like, shut up. be quiet harshly. Right? I forgot this is going out into the airwaves. He said, shut up, I'm not going there anymore. Logorrhea. And how many times do we have to... This is a great word. It's a real word. I was like, he just made that up. No, it had its own Wikipedia page and everything. It must be real. So... And isn't that amazing? It's like this just... going on and saying, you can't do this. You can't, you're never going to amount to anything. You can't do this. You're a loser. You're all this kind of stuff. You're not doing what God has called you to do. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, this is an out and out tactic of the enemy. Because the enemy, get this, this is something that might just wake you up a little bit different tomorrow morning. The enemy cannot steal your salvation. But he can waste it. He can waste it. He can make you useless. He can make you scared. He can make you afraid to do anything. He can make you question and doubt. He can't steal your salvation. But he can make us useless, ineffective, not able to get through the situations in our lives. And it comes down to logorrhea. Get a pill for that. I had to. So on the back of your bulletin, we're going to hit these things really quick. I got three things here that we're going to be looking at. When it comes to listening to this voice, one of them is this. We need to cancel the audition when it comes to our relationship with God. We're fully aware of what's happened in our society with reality TV shows, and I don't really care about them too much, but there's different things that come along, and people still, like, you know, they give their value even to what they're seeing people do. And there's the music ones that we all know about, and there's one that's made its run and it's done or whatever, but there's other ones that have come along, and there's one where the judges all sit in a chair and they have their back to the person when they come. And what happens is that the person comes out and they sing. And while they're singing, if the judge really likes that one, they do, I don't know, they hit a button or they go, me, or whatever. And their chair turns around and that's when they get to see the person for the first time. There's kind of a neat aspect to that because they're not judging that person on appearance, they're listening for their talent. So that's kind of cool. Every once in a while, nobody turns their chair around. And we feel that when we are going before the Lord, even if you've never seen this show before, I've seen a bit. I know what it does. I know how it works. And so every once in a while, what we do is we think, how can I gain God's attention? How can I get God to look at me? And every once in a while, we'll do something or we'll feel like, hey, we've really surfaced somewhere in our lives and we've gotten to a place to where surely God would recognize that. And we're waiting for that chair to turn around and look at us. There's something completely wrong with that mentality. There is no audition to begin with. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. That means you hadn't made a single mistake yet. You hadn't even breathed a breath of air yet. That means that your excuses for why you think God isn't turning His way to you don't amount to anything because He loved you before you did anything at all. And we're like, God, I want this chair to turn around. There is no chair. As a matter of fact, there is no audition at all. In the New Testament, it's worded this way. In case you're thinking, well, that's Old Testament, Phil. You just made a big distinction between Old Testament and New Testament. Okay, the New Testament version is even better. While you were still sinners, I died for you. You were still, you hadn't even decided that you loved me or you were going to go to a conference or you were going to do anything. While you were still in sin, Christ died for you. I like that better than the other one. Because the other one, it was like, he had no idea what he was getting. And here I am, poof, right? I like the New Testament one. You're in sin and God still loves you. Where's the audition in that? No chair turning around. We're showing up to auditions that don't even exist. The audition is right here. That's where the audition is. The audition is not in God. The audition is here. I think I need to do, I'm going, I. And I have to do something in order for God to turn to me and look at me. Hogwash. That's wrong. That's enemy speaking to you and you buying it that somehow you have to do something for God. Guess what? You can't do anything for Him. He's just fine. He doesn't need approval from you at all. We need His love poured out on us. Isn't this good? I got saved on Thursday, putting this stuff together. I was like, God, I never knew you this way. That's not true, but I had a lot of fun looking at this and saying, God, I can't believe this. Jeremiah 1, 4 through 5, in case you're wondering where that came from. Before I formed you, in the womb I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. This is the word to Jeremiah. You hadn't done anything yet, and I already appointed you for this task. Social media comes in and tries to steal from that. But the Bible says these things very quickly to us. He says, we are a masterpiece. We are a workmanship. We are established. We are sealed with a promise. We are redeemed. That's what the Word says to us. But yet, we got all this stuff filtering in because we went to an audition that was never even scheduled to happen. You know, the Bible says, I have to love you. But I don't gotta like you. I was thinking about this phrase, and this is very, 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 very important for Christians to understand. God likes me. The bumper sticker in the coffee mug says that He loves me. But His actions of what He's done in my life show a step beyond that. Because I can stand right here and I can say, I love you with the love of the Lord. Now just go. Right? There, I got that off my chest. I feel so much better. Right? And that's how we treat each other sometimes, is that, oh, I love you. And then somebody starts to, oh, you know, okay. And we're on to the next thing. God doesn't do that with us. He actually likes us. And it's not the like button. It's He adores us. He did some things for us that somebody who is all about love, because we don't even understand love in our society anymore, because apparently we all love pizza, right? You know, or we love a good burger, or we love a good barbecue, or we love the Mets, or whatever. I don't know what it is. And we use this word so out of context now, that when somebody finally gets to the point where they're like, I love you, we don't even know, we have no connection to what that really means. Because love means, even in your stinkiest moment, I accept you for who you are. And that's what Jesus has done for me. Jesus has done that in my life. In my stinkiest moments, I have felt the love of Jesus in my life. Why? Because He likes me. He likes me. There was a story I heard about where somebody was having a communication issue with their boss. And like most companies nowadays, things done through, you know, company emails and all that kind of stuff. And somebody who felt like they were doing a really good job, and they kept on getting this communication from their boss about their performance. And they were challenging things. You know, there were things like, why don't you try this, why don't you do that, and that type of thing. And the person that was reading the emails was getting really down. saying, I can't, you know, here I am, I'm trying this, I'm trying that, I'm doing that, and everything I get, you're just like dumping on me all the time. So go to the office, and they're like, I've got this problem with you. Every time I do something, you're sending out this email to me telling me how I'm doing it wrong, and blah, blah, blah. And the boss said, you're reading my emails wrong. Here's what I want you to do from now on with my emails as I send them. I want you to picture me smiling while I'm sending you that email. Not like this. That's what some of you already are like, yeah, I know that smile. Take that. Not that smile. You guys. But that is the love that is in the Word of God. Is that we can look at some of these things and we say, I can't believe that God would ask me to do this or God would challenge me in this way. I can't. What that is, just like the interview I was telling you about earlier, that is really in the Bible? Yeah, because God loves you. Do you remember in Genesis chapter 3? The Satan came along and Satan said, did God really say? That was the first thing that was challenged to the couple in the garden. Did God really say? And then he goes on to manipulate the words of God. But if you look back in chapter 2, God didn't say they couldn't eat of that tree. He said, of all the trees in the garden, you can eat. But don't eat this one, because the day that you eat it, you will surely die. Do you see the context of that? The context isn't, no. It was, you can eat anything you want to, but let me just give you a heads up. You eat that one, you're in a world of hurt. It's not a good idea to eat that one. You leave that one alone. Everything else, nothing's going to happen to you. I recommend you don't. It's a little stronger than recommend. Don't eat that one because you'll die. Wouldn't you not go that way? Don't take that detour, you'll die. Be like, good Lord, fix the road. Holy, you know, we're not going that way. You know, why'd you turn? We're going to die if we go that way. Apparently you could go that way if you wanted to, but it's a bad idea. Would you agree? But then the devil comes, the enemy comes and says, God didn't want you to do that because here's what's going to happen. You're going to become like him, and God doesn't want you to become like him. And he began to twist the words. In our lives, we have to realize that the things that are there are because God not only loves us, he likes us. He likes us. He wants us to be around. When I come knocking at the door, he doesn't, oh, Phil, I had so many other things I was going to do today. Phil, give me a break, you know? And that's what happens to, that's the feeling that we get. Because then also in the garden, we find out that God says to him, who told you that? What is the first thing that happens when they eat the fruit? They look at each other and they realize they're stark naked. Now, we don't know how long they were in the garden before they ate the fruit. They were naked the whole time. Some of you are like, that's one thing I'm really glad about at the fall, is that we're not all naked right now. You know, so, you know, there's some communes that are set up that way, and but we don't do that here. Please come clothed. But the reality was there was something, if we take it to a social level, there was something that was always the way that it was, and it had always been that way. And then the moment that sin entered in, that thing that was always there, that was okay until sin came along, all of a sudden that thing is no longer okay. Not because God changed, not because the garden changed, and not even because they physically changed. When Eve ate the fruit, Adam didn't become a 400-pound overweight man. He still looked the same. And she was like, you need to cover that. I'm going out here. Yeah. Right? Right? That's exactly what happened in millennial terms. I'm leaving until we get something figured out here. And that's what's going on in our lives, is that we listen to the lies of the enemy. I don't physically change. The things around me don't physically change. My outlook, my view of what's going on, the conversation up here is what changes. And God says, who told you that? Who told you that you were unacceptable? Who told you that you were unloved? Who told you that you needed to cover up this thing that's in your life? Because the world is inundating us in that way, we get to this place of saying, God, I'm stuck in this. I want to close with this scripture, Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 17, if you want to write it down. This is when Jesus had been had come up from the water, baptized by John the Baptist, of course. Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, it says, "And behold, a voice from heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.'" To our knowledge, I know that there's certain groups that have created this childhood for Jesus. But to our knowledge, what had Jesus done up to that point? Nothing. Zero. Arguably, if you wanted to, because he didn't sin, arguably, if you wanted to, he ran away from home. They're on their way back home, and they're like, where's Jesus? I heard a guy give a message about that one time. I loved it. I'm going to steal it sometime so you'll know where it came. It wasn't me. Where is Jesus? And you know what they had to do? They had to go back to where, this is preach all day long. They had to go back to where they came from to find out, not that Jesus left them, where they left Jesus. Man, that's good. That's incredible. You know, there's people that think like they think like this all day long. I was like, man, that is good. We had to go all the way back to where not Jesus left me, but where I left him. But what had Jesus done up to that moment to get that recognition from his Father? As far as we know, nothing. He hadn't done anything yet. And then here's the thing too. Get the beauty of this. What's the very next event that happens in Jesus' life after this? It's a pop quiz. He went into the desert and was tempted by the devil. But God just said, I'm awesome. Did you see the bird? Instantly, that relationship, wait a second, okay, you know, he comes onto the scene, and I don't know the inner workings of it. We don't have a Job moment where God was going to send Jesus and Satan was privy to it, or we don't have that Job moment. But, you know, I wonder if all of a sudden it was like Satan was like looking and looking and looking for the Messiah, and he's growing up over here and maturing and all this kind of stuff, and he has no idea, and then all of a sudden he gets baptized, and it was like the eye of Mordor went poof. You know, there he is. He's right there. And Satan went, whoa, 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 whoa. Wait. He's already grown up. Where was I? When did this happen? Into the desert to challenge the relationship that was just established before everyone. You think you're any different? If Jesus went through it, buckle up for safety. Because God wants to do a work in your life that'll bring you to a place to where you hear only Him. There's no audition at all. There's nothing you have to do. There's nothing you can do more to get God's attention than you have. You have to realize that God likes you exactly the way that He created you. God likes you and He wants to spend time with you. And if there's a lie that's in your life right now, who told you that? Trace it back. See where it came from. Wait a second. There's a lie that I'm believing that's not true. And there's a good chance that where that lie came in and took over your life, Jesus is right there in that moment ready to heal it in Jesus' name. so that you can move forward in what he's called you to do. That's amazing. Let's stand together this morning. Father, we come before you right now in Jesus' name, praying for this idea of being able to receive this personal message from you. Father, I pray right now, no matter what anybody is experiencing, what level of tragedy that they may have experienced in their life, right now what we want to do is we want to take a moment, Father, and we want to say we are believers in Christ, therefore we want to begin to function like them, and believers listen to the voice of their Father. And so, Father, right now in Jesus' name, if there's something going on in our lives that has distracted us from hearing your voice, I pray that instantly we would be able to change our direction and say, God, today I want to hear your voice. I want to hear your word over my life. I want to see what you are doing. God, filter these other things out. Help me to be focused on what you have called me to do, how you've called me to function. And God, not allow the rejection that I receive to do anything other than build me up in the body of Christ. Because, Father, I know there are going to be struggles. There's going to be setbacks in this world, you will find trouble, but you didn't leave us there. You said, but fear not, for I have overcome this world. And so, Father, right now, we just ask for the lies of the world to be wiped away in Jesus' name, the deception of the enemy to be wiped away in Jesus' name, that, Father, today we would walk out of here dedicated to listening to the voice of the Lord. I pray that. I call upon it, Lord. Let it be true in our hearts today that we would not cave to the chatter that's around us. That we would look to you for our strength and our source. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't he good? He's good. He's good. I would ask you to make sure that you are in strong, healthy fellowship with believers in Jesus Christ. This is the key to these things, of being encouraged. Be in strong, healthy fellowship so that when the enemy does come in, you're not there going, I'm hearing something. You want to be able to say, this thing came in and I'm not sure about it. And you need to have a healthy relationship with somebody who loves the Lord, loves you, isn't going to judge you. And you just say, I've got to get this thing cleared up. I'm not sure what's going on. And they can pray with you. They can cover you and be in those social environments. Even the church is creating them here. But wherever you seem to feel that I'm in a place now where I can just completely connect and know that I'm not going to be judged in any particular way. And that's how God wants to be able to speak to us. Father, we seal this. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.